Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. It's Thursday, so this is an archive show, first published as a newspaper column and podcast episode sometime in the last 10 years. Thanks for downloading, and I hope you enjoy our show. This story was first published on October 4th of 2010 under the headline, Marcus Whitman Sought to Save Oregon, But Not from the Brits. Here we go. Just about everybody remembers from third grade civics class the story of Paul Revere's midnight ride. And most of us have since learned that his ride was a bit less dramatic than was portrayed in the famous poem about it. Oregon has a similar legend from its early days in the stretched story of how Marcus Whitman saved Oregon. Marcus Whitman was a missionary who, with his equally famous wife Narcissa, established four outposts in the Oregon country in 1836, before it was even officially a territory, for purposes of ministering to the Native Americans there. This went pretty well until a Caucasian guest at the mission came down with German measles, and the illness got transmitted somehow to the Indians. It was devastating for them, killing roughly 9 out of every 10, one of the very few occasions when the word decimate can be used literally. Shocked and horrified, the surviving natives, those yet not touched by the disease, rose up and wiped out the Whitman mission at Walla Walla in 1847, killing the Whitmans and everybody else. In the process, of course, they probably exposed themselves to the measles, which is far more than anything else responsible for how, quote-unquote, peaceably Oregon was settled by the emigrants. But the legend. According to this tall tale, Whitman realized in 1842 that the British were about to make a play for full ownership of the Oregon country, which had been held under joint occupancy treaties dating back to the War of 1812. The crux of the problem was population. There were more Brits in the area than Americans. What was needed, the Whitman of the legend presciently knew, was a giant torrent of covered wagons crossing the continent and packing the state with American settlers who could then turn the tables on those wicked, plotting British. So in the dead of winter, the legend continues, Whitman set out to traverse what would soon become known as the Oregon Trail, racing to alert President Tyler that the Oregon country was about to be lost to Britain unless he could get a bunch of Oregons on the road west. Despite the well-intentioned obstructionism of Daniel Webster, Tyler leaped to his feet, seized the presidential bugle, and blew a stirring call to arms. Whitman set about in a patriotic frenzy of pamphleteering and public speaking to assemble a mighty armada of prairie schooners stuffed with American settlers. And the next thing you knew, Whitman was returning in triumph at the head of a massive covered wagon armada leading thousands of rugged American pioneers to Oregon like a new Moses and foiling the machination of those British pharaohs. And that's how Marcus Whitman saved Oregon. Or so the story goes. Turns out that story was purely made in Oregon, probably as the fruit of a coincidence and some fanciful guesswork. Whitman did, in fact, go back east in the dead of winter, but it was to argue against a plan to close three of his four Northwest mission stations, not to urge Americanization of Oregon. So far as I've been able to document, he never met with the president and made no organized effort to inspire immigrants, although he was enthusiastically supportive of them in the settlement process. But it's easy to see how the myth took hold. After all, it's quite true that the British were hoping to take over. It's also true that the very spring after Whitman's dramatic wintertime voyage, the first big wave of covered wagons started over the continent on the Oregon Trail. What had been a trickle became a torrent of American settlers who quickly made any British claim on Oregon impossible to pursue. Moreover, Whitman really did return with a massive party of covered wagons. He was a trained physician, so his services were in demand. And after all, why would anyone travel across the Oregon Trail alone if he could help it? So for the beleaguered Americans in the Oregon country, it must have looked, in retrospect at least, like a lot like a case of Whitman bringing the cavalry. When, shortly after his return, Whitman died in the, quote, Whitman Massacre, it was easy to interpret that as having been influenced by British vengefulness. The British, as traders rather than settlers, had much better relations with the Indians than the Americans did.
Stuart Holbrook suggests that the myth of Whitman's salvation of Oregon was crafted by other members of his mission outposts in an effort to get a cash indemnity from the federal government. This scenario seems unlikely. After all, the legend tells of Whitman doing a lot of lobbying in Washington and other areas of the East. No sensible person would try to sell a phony story to people who can fact-check it by simply asking neighbors about it. It's far more likely that the other missionaries had nothing to do with making the myth and simply used it, believing it to be true, to bolster their case. Marcus Whitman, a man of God who died in an effort to share his faith with others, might not have appreciated having his legend repurposed from Christian martyr to American patriot. But in the light of history, that's pretty much what happened. Key sources in this story have included works by Oliver W. Nixon, Stuart Holbrook, and Bill Gulick. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. What you've been listening to is one of more than 550 stories originally created and published as newspaper columns in first-run syndication between 2008 and today. You can read them all at offbeatoregon.com. Offbeat Oregon is a division of Pulplit Productions, pulp-lit.com, a boutique publishing house owned and operated by yours truly, specializing in audiobook and multimedia editions of the work of the classic pre-war pulp writers. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license type CC by SA 4.0, which basically means you can do anything with the content you like so long as you A, give me credit for it, and B, whatever you make is also released under a Creative Commons license. But if you need a waiver to either A or B, hit me up, fj@offbeatoregon.com. I've never said no yet to a request for a waiver of one of those conditions. They're generally there just to prevent me from accidentally authorizing the reuse of something I don't actually control the rights to. A good example might be a photograph used by special permission of the rights holder. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Questions, critiques, ideas for a future episode? Email me at fj@offbeatoregon.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every single weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.